Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Title of today's message is, I'm glad I'm not a brick. I'm glad I'm not a brick. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Again, that's Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And let me stop just there for a moment, because if you read back in chapter 10 of Genesis, you find out that, and the preceding chapters there about Noah and the ark and the flood, and we find in chapter 10 that the ark has come to rest, and that Noah and his family are out, and some of the things that happened there. Then it picks up with some of the descendants of Noah here in chapter 11. And so the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it says, as they went from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and there they abode. And they said one to another, come, let us make brick and burn it in the fire. So they had brick for stone, and slime they had instead of mortar. Also they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto the heaven, that we may get us a name, lest we be scattered upon the whole earth. Well, the other day my wife and I were watching the Perry Stone Manifest program, and he happened to mention that verse in some of the comments, and he was talking about bricks. Bricks are made of clay. Anybody ever watched them make bricks? Depending on the part of the world you're in, they make them maybe a little bit different. But basically, it's a simple process. They take some clay-type earth, and they shape them into this form, and they're put into a kiln and fired up and made hard that way. One of the things about bricks is bricks are pretty much all the same. You've got a load of bricks, they pretty much all look alike. Yeah, they'll get a few chips here and there, but essentially they're so many inches long by so many inches wide by so many inches deep. And that's the way they are. Now, the color can vary a little bit, but typically most bricks are either red or gray. Not a whole lot of variation there. And I've noticed around Tennessee something I hadn't really thought of seeing before. Mary and I have been talking about is people that have brick houses have started painting the bricks green and all sorts of other colors, but the brick is still initially that same color, and it's made out of clay. Well, you also mentioned stones here. It said they had bricks instead of stones. Well, I want to talk about stones, because stones are unique, or rocks, whichever way you want to refer to it. No two are really alike. Did you ever stop to think about that? How many times do you pick up rocks that are really alike? Oh, yeah, we can run them through a process, and we can do stuff to them that can make them pretty much alike. But even then, if you sit down, you're going to find some uniqueness to those particular rocks. Every rock is beautiful in its own way. And I know some people love rocks. How can rocks be beautiful? But some rocks are extremely beautiful. Think about it. Now, I have here in my hand something that doesn't look all too great. Looks almost about like a baseball, doesn't it? Except it's a rock. And it's about the size of a baseball, I guess it should say. And it's a geode. Now, these come in various shapes and sizes. My wife happens to have a couple of them this size. And one of the things about geodes is they're not much to look at on the outside, really. I mean, this has some kind of rust color in it and some other colors a little bit. But if you break it open, anybody ever seen a geode that's been broken open or cut open? Typically, if you cut them open. You cut them open and you find such spectacular beauty inside them. All sorts of colors, a lot of times some purples and stuff like that. And typically a geode that's been polished and everything can be very valuable. And uh, So this is a geode here. Like I say, it's not really a whole lot to look out on the on the outside, but on the inside, it's beautiful. You know, people can be a lot like that too. Sometimes we're not all that much to look at on the outside, and I know some people, uh-oh, man, he's getting himself in trouble here. We try to make ourselves something to look at on the outside, but, and I guess I remember the words of C.M. Ward, that famous revival time preacher who said, if the barn needs painting, you paint it, when they ask him about ladies wearing makeup. Sometimes, though, we as people, we are not the most gorgeous thing walking on the planet, on this planet. But on the inside, we can have beauty. Have you ever heard them talk about somebody? Well, they're not much to look out on that, but they're beautiful on the inside. Some people, the spirit that they have about them, how they handle things, the way they do things, you just like them no matter what, you know. And it doesn't matter that... They're as ugly as all get out, you know. They're beautiful on the inside. Now, I'm not saying anybody here is ugly. I don't want anybody here to get me wrong on that. And I better try to backpedal there a little bit, I guess. But that can be the case. A rock, even though it's not outstandingly gorgeous on the outside, can have great beauty on the inside, and so can a person. Well, you break open a brick, and what have you got? A bunch of dirt. Basically, it's just kind of hard. You know, it doesn't look any different, you know. And it doesn't contain any great beauty within it. Well, here they were. As we say, you can take a stone, and you can take tools, and you can shape these stones. And how many have looked at pictures of some of the great architecture of the past? And you see these beautiful buildings that have been built out of stone. And they've taken and they've worked the stones so that they fit together. And I was watching a video on a place somewhere, I believe it might have been in Peru, I'm not sure, this architecture that goes back thousands of years, and how well these stones were fit together. In fact, fit together so firm, so tightly, that you couldn't even put a hair in between them because the way they had worked them. So they may be worked and done things to them for building purposes. And, you know, when Solomon built the temple, what did he build it out of? He didn't build it out of bricks. Says he built it out of stone, because in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, it says, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building, which means to say that they shaped the stone and got it prepared before they brought it to the building site, and then the stones were put into place. One of the things about stone is stone lasts. We pick this rock up here, stone. Anybody know how old this is? There's nothing stamped on it that says a date that it was made or an expiration date or anything like that. Sometimes we can know, we can find out. You go down to the lumber yard and get you some bricks, and you can probably find out when those bricks were made if you ask around. But this could have been here since the day God spoke this earth into creation. We don't know. So we don't have any idea how old stones are. But as I said, you can go out and purchase a brand new brick and know it's brand new. You know, some of the great and lasting edifices of the world were built of stone. And we lived in Mainz, Germany for a little over a year, and during the time that we were living there, they were preparing to celebrate the 2000th anniversary of the city. And one thing about Mainz, some of you older folks, and I don't think any of us here probably are really old enough to remember back to the events of World War II, as far as have a detailed memory of it. But during the time, that time period in Mainz, Germany, when the Allies forces made bombing raids on the wherever in Germany, there was a slogan, "Save one for Mainz." And in that, it meant they saved one bomb on their bombing run. On their way back, typically flying back to England or to an aircraft carrier, wherever it would be that they came from, they flew back and they flew over the city of Mainz and they dropped that last bomb on the city of Mainz. And so it was constantly being bombed. And the interesting thing, though, is that we were there probably 20-some years, maybe closer to 30 years after all of this had happened. A lot of the city still needed repair, but some of these buildings that had been built hundreds and even thousands of years ago were still standing. One of the places that was still standing there was close to 1,000 years old, I guess. I know I saw several buildings there that were 1,000 years old, even surviving these bombing raids, because the stone was made to endure. It was made to last. Now, brick, while it lasts for a while, it eventually will start to crumble. It's just like us. You know, bricks are really made out of the same thing we're made out of. Stop to think about it. Made out of the dirt of the earth. And that's what the Bible says that we're made out of. It says God took us from the dust of the earth and he created man. So we have a lot of the same composition as brick. At least our physical body does. Let's go back here and look at Genesis chapter 11 for a moment. Here back to where they were building this city and this tower. This was to reach unto the heaven. That was their whole idea. We're going to make a name for ourselves. We are going to do whatever we want to do. And if you read on, you find out that God comes and takes a look at the place and says, look, they've got one language and nothing will be restrained from them in verses 5 through 9. They will be able to do whatever they have imagined to do. And we're kind of still like that today. We start out to do something, and it doesn't matter whether it's going to be pleasing to God or not. The human race seems to decide that they're going to do whatever they want to do. Doesn't matter. We'll do it anyway because it pleases us. So they begin to build. Well, as you read on in the story there in chapter 11, does God destroy the tower in the city? You know, he had previously destroyed the earth by flood, and he said he was not going to do that again. And there are various places where God destroys something, but did he destroy this? No. It simply says that he confused the language. And all of a sudden, one person's talking to their neighbor, and they find out, uh-oh, I don't understand a word of that gibberish he's uttering out of his mouth. What's going on here? And finally, somebody over here says, well, I hear that guy over there speaking the same language I'm speaking, but I don't understand what these other people are saying. I don't know how many have been around a crowd of people that maybe spoke a number of different languages being spoken, but when you're there, it's kind of, you know, what in the world is going on? Because you hear all of this noise, and you're maybe not understanding a word of what's being said. Well, it was kind of like that. God didn't destroy the city, didn't destroy the tower, just confused the language. What did I say the tower is built out of? Brick. Is there any tower there today? God never destroyed it because the brick crumbled eventually. Eventually, no trace left of that tower, of that city. If it had been made of stone, possibly there might be something still left of it, because we have monuments that have been built out of stone. For example, Stonehenge that goes back thousands of years, still standing. There are other archaeological sites that we can find that date back to the biblical era of the Old Testament, and they're still there because they were made of stone, because the stone lasts, the stone endures. It stays there. It doesn't weather away like the brick does. Jesus, in talking to Peter in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 16, and I want to read this one from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, I tell you this, you are Kepha, which means rock, and on this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overcome it. Well, the Greek word that is translated church in the King James Version, ecclesia, is also can be translated a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation, a Jewish synagogue or Christian community of members on earth or saints in heaven or both, an assembly or a church. So when it says the community, upon this community, I will build my church. Upon what Peter said here when he said, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the Messiah. When Peter recognized this, Jesus said, this truth we will build this community upon. We will build this church upon, and it will endure. Now, if you look back over the past 2,000 years, the church, Christianity, unfortunately, when we think of church, we always tend to think of the material building, you know. But the church is really the people. It is the community that is assembled together. And we have endured for 2,000 years, even though there has been great hardship, there has been great persecution. And you look around in the world today, and you can find that there are groups of Christians, that community of Christians, that are enduring great hardship. They're enduring great persecution, but the church still continues. And you find out in some places where that persecution takes place, the church gets stronger. They get stronger in their faith. They get stronger in their belief because God has built upon that rock. What we are built upon is not a bed of clay. It is not a brick. It is a stone that endures. He wants us to endure. We were built to endure. Think about it. God didn't create us to die. Now, we all have friends, family, and loved ones that have died. And it's possible that before the rapture takes place, it could happen to some of us here. And I know none of us want to think about that, but it's a possibility. It could happen. But it's only this clay out here, the brick part of us, you might say, that's going to die. God created us to live forever. Our soul, our spirit will endure forever. Think about that. He created us to have fellowship with Him, and He is going to someday give us a body that will endure forever. It's built upon a rock, not a brick. Peter goes on to write then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, to whom concerning as unto a living stone, disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye are as lively stones. And another translation says, ye as living stones, be made a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I put in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And so we're reading here, as we read this verse, we're finding that Jesus is that stone that we're built upon. He is that living stone that was disallowed by men, but chosen of God. And we are then also living stones that make up a spiritual house. We make up that spiritual priesthood to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God. What is our sacrifice that we offer up to Him? It is our praise. We offer up a sacrifice of praise. We offer up a sacrifice of prayer. We sometimes offer up a sacrifice of our life unto Him. But we are here to worship and praise God and fellowship with Him. He didn't create us just to be something that would come and be gone. He created us to endure, to be with Him, that we could be with Him forever. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5, as we just read part of here, in the complete Jewish Bible, it says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by people, but chosen by God and precious to him, you yourselves as living stones are being built into a spiritual house to be priests set apart for God to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to him through Yeshua the Messiah." He designed us to be something special. This rock here is something special. It's got within it a unique design. And we're not going to cut it open to find out what that design is. But it has a special design inside. There is no other one out there just like it. There may be others that are similar, but there's not another one out there like it. And guess what? There's not another one out there just like you either. God created us all unique and different. And I heard you say, "Thank God for that." And I know sometimes we look at some people and we say, "Thank God there isn't another one like them out there," you know. But we are different. God created you to be you. And he created you to worship him in your own unique way. Now, where we run into trouble is when we let the devil come along and begin to speak to us and we start to pay heed to what he tells us to do, then we run into trouble. But when we listen to the voice of God, God created you to be something special unto him. You know, if he wanted it all to just be the same, he could have essentially just created a bunch of robots and, you know, on a push of a button, they'd all, "Hallelujah," you know. And we could do that. We could build robots and we press a button and "Hallelujah." "Praise the Lord." After about the second or third time, it'd be kind of humorous the first, second, third time. But by the fourth or fifth time, it'd get monotonous. You say, "Shut that thing off. You know, get rid of it." But because we are different, none of us exactly worship God in the same way. And we are all giving him praise and worship in different ways. Because he created us to be different. He created us to be unique. So you are unique individuals. You're set apart as priests unto God, to worship God, to give him sacrifice, to give him praise. You are special to God. And I know in today's world, some people come along and they want to tell you, "Look, you're lousy, good for nothing, nobody." Anybody ever tell you that? Live to tell about it? No. But sometimes people come along and they belittle us and they run us down and they try to make us feel like we're lower than dirt. Anybody ever do that? Have somebody do that to you? I'm not saying did you do it. Did somebody do that to you? Yeah. I've had people say some pretty bad things to me sometimes. I know when I got drafted into the Army, our drill sergeant, he just loved to tell us how low we were. And, you know, we had to look up to see the dirt. Maggots. Yeah, we were maggots. But God says you're special. You're something. You are somebody. He created you to be special. If he'd wanted robots, he would have made robots, and we'd all looked the same, and we'd all talked the same, and we'd all praised him the same, and we'd all done the same. But he created us as individuals. He created us to be stones. He created us to be rocks, not bricks. That's why I'm glad I'm a rock and not a brick, because I'm unique to God. I'm something that God created to be special to him. Now, I have to admit that some of us may not be special to any other people, you know, but we're special to God. And guess what? That's what counts. It doesn't matter if I'm special to somebody else. As long as I'm special to God, that's what counts. Because I'm being what He created me to be. Special to Him. Bible also tells us that someday, in the not too distant future for us, He's going to give us a special rock. Now, I know in the King James Version it says stone. And Revelations chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the manna that is hid, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." One of these days, He's got a special stone, a special rock, just for us. And it's got a name written on it that only He and we are going to know. It's coming to us. But we have to what to get that stone? We have to be overcomers. And how are we overcomers? The Bible tells us we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb that was shed on that cross that was built on a hillside 2,000 years ago. And Jesus Christ was hung on that cross, and His blood was shed as the sacrifice for our sins. That's the blood that is going to help us overcome. We are overcome by the blood of that sacrifice. Simply by saying, "Jesus, I accept your sacrifice that you made in my place for my sin. Cleanse my heart. Change my life." You know what the thing is? When you get saved, there's going to be a change take place. Now, some people are dirty, rotten people that are, you know, they've got all kinds of sin in their life, and when they get saved, you might see a big change immediately. You know, and some people, they've been good people. They've done good deeds. They've lived a better Christian life than some Christians maybe, but they've never accepted Jesus. And so when they get saved, you might not see as drastic a change, but there's a change that takes place. Because you become that child of God, and your heart, your life is changed. And you become that rock then that He created you to be, that living stone that is going to worship Him, is going to sacrifice to Him. You become that person that He wants you to be. And then we live our lives striving to be that person that He wants us to be. Sometimes it's hard work. It doesn't come easy. Sometimes we got to work at it, and sometimes it's a hard deal to deal with. But He created us to be special. He created you to be you in His kingdom. But we have to work at being what He wants us to be. And as we do that, He will help us to be what He wants us to be. That's why I pray quite often, "God, help me to be the person you want me to be. Not what somebody else wants me to be or what I want to be, but what you want me to be." I pray for this church. "God, help this church to be the church you want it to be." Because if we become the person in the church that God wants us to be, then we're doing what He wants, and we're working for His glory and for His kingdom. And Father, today I thank You that You created us to be rocks and not bricks. That You created us to be unique, Father, enduring, Father. That we could be a part of Your kingdom, Father. And that we would endure, Father, into Your kingdom and be a part of Your worship team forever, Father. And Father, I give You praise and glory for what You have done. And Father, if there's any listening to this message that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that You would speak to their heart today through the Holy Spirit and help them to realize that today is the day they need to quit being a brick and become a stone and give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.